Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to 6060 here on The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert. Today, we're joined by Cher Delaware, who was seen singing Judas this weekend at AEW Full Gear. Cher, first question, are you cold like December snow?
Actually, yes. It's like 40 degrees here today.
Let's discuss this because you have been very adamant that you are not a fan of Chris Jericho. He has blocked you on Twitter, I believe. You are not a fan of Judas, and you were caught live on Bleacher Report during AEW Full Gear singing Judas. What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, firstly, I know the words to this song because my kids have terrible taste in music that they get from their father. So they make me listen to it all the time. And secondly, I was trying to break the walls down and just get into the moment, and it just did not turn out well for me.
What role did Issa play in this? She was there as well, and I don't feel she has gotten enough heat for this. Do you place any blame on her?
Well, in the clip, she was pointing at the ring because they had the Puerto Rican flag in the ring. So you can visibly see her saying, "That's my flag." But I don't know. It's so much. This guilt is like a heavy cross.
Can you sing the chorus for us right now?
No.
But you know the lyrics?
Yes.
But so why won't you sing it?
Because I cannot sing.
But you were caught at AEW Full Gear singing. So you know the lyrics. You were singing at Full Gear. Why can't you replicate this moment right now? What are you trying to hide on this show?
There is nothing left for me to save in this wreckage of my life.
Cher, the Judas incident was not the only thing you've gotten in trouble for. In Minneapolis. Let's talk about the Minneapolis media dinner. What do you have to say for yourself about that?
You know what? I resent your tone.
And I said, psychotic!
This was for all pals. And O'Neill, such a feast from the jaws of victory with the pop gun and the chubby cheese. Distraction. Hey! Podcast. Pure filth.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always, Joseph Holbert. Joseph, how are you?
I'm good. I didn't like that shot there when I was like, that was bad. It's like Oracle of Wrestling shit. But I'm good, Jeremy. I'm very good. It's just strange, this show being the outlier in our schedule now. We have to like come up with ideas and have an open intro and stuff. It feels weird. Normally we just start now and talk.
Yeah.
So I'm still adjusting to that. But, you know, overall I'm very good. How are you?
Good. I'm wearing my Bryan Danielson shirt today in honor of the new heel, Bryan Danielson.
The American Dragon?
Yeah, the American Dragon, the GOAT.
Yep. Fair.
He's a heel now. Did you see this, Joseph?
He's just a dick. I told you that weeks ago. I told you he was a dick to Eddie Kingston, man. That's all you need to know.
Everyone said he's a heel. That's what they're telling me.
He'll shake hands with Hangman at the end of the program, you know?
Oh, my God. You never know what's going to happen on the distraction, folks. You never know. Crosby is here.
Oh, my God. It's Bill Goldberg.
I just made it.
How you doing, pal?
I got a rare day. My mother's upstairs with the baby.
Oh, my God. You're so out of breath.
My house is three stories. I ran down.
Oh, what a humble brag that was. My house is three stories.
I ran down from the top because we were putting the Christmas tree together for the baby. We got one for her room. So my wife and I put it together and I ran down here, lugging the computer and all, because I ended upstairs with me working. I got here, though.
Not whispering, breathing heavy.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. Guys, you can leave a humper chat, a bobber chat, whatever those things are called, or a super chat. So do one of those things. I don't know if we get a cut of any of this stuff. Leave it all on the post-show video. Send all your money there. I know we get a cut of that. So send your money there, everybody.
Yeah. Very, very
Jack, fair. Jack, you're running the show. What would you like to talk about, Jack?
Oh, this is going to be an hour and a half of Bryan Danielson.
Okay, good.
That's fun, mate.
This show's going to be an hour and a half. Are you guys kidding me? It's going to be an hour and a half of Bryan Danielson. I saw something in the preview. I don't know, Jeremy, you said something about that Charlotte Becky bullshit. Yeah. Nobody got time for that. Nobody got time for that shit.
Bro, watch some of that shit.
Yeah, no, we do have to talk about this. Look, I put the graphic together for this.
I will put it in the description. I was actually talking to the wife about that before because she saw, I don't know, Becky or Charlotte, one of them was on ESPN today or something. Either yesterday or last night, she was asking me, what's this all about? And I was like, who cares? And she's like, well, can you at least explain? I was like, all right.
Becky was on Helwani's show yesterday. Have they done more media? If they've done more media today, I haven't watched it.
She said something about ESPN. Usually have ESPN on in the morning, so maybe Charlotte was?
Maybe. Well, what can you do? This is all a shoot, Jack. Like, they're going to go out there and punch each other in the face on Sunday.
At first, I thought it was a shoot. But the more and more they're out there just talking, driving the point home, no, it's not.
I will say, I don't know these people. Becky Lynch is very convincing in these interviews that she's not like there's definitely some truth to what she's saying. I'm pretty convinced of that. Now, do I think there's any chance they're going to go out there and punch each other in the face for 10 minutes rather than a wrestling match? No. I think it's a very interesting, genuinely, while I agree with Jack's general sentiment, I do think it's an interesting conversation in terms of this, like, modern take on kayfabe that kind of, I think Russo was like the first that really loved this idea that you kind of basically say all of this other stuff is phony and they're friends, but these two really hate each other. You know, will they cooperate? Will they be able to? They haven't gone quite that far from what I can gather, but they're definitely trying to get across the idea that, yeah, these two really hate each other now. You know, you got to tune in and sign and find out what's going to happen, which is interesting. I don't know if I like it or not. I mean, I don't particularly, but it is an interesting concept, especially for WWE, which is such a kind of safe, pristine product most of the time. I don't know. It's fun.
I hope they do a move-for-move remake of CM Punk against Eddie Kingston. Just Becky
Okay,
starts.
So here's the thing about that, okay? You've seen the movie Psycho, Jeremy?
Yes. Yeah.
The original or the stupid
The original.
Movie?
The original. Yes. See, Jack knows where I'm going. And it was almost like a project, like a case study. They remade the movie shot for shot exactly the same, but with Vince Vaughn as the lead. Terrible film. No good. No one, but why? Why is it worse? It's the same film, shot for shot. That's what you would get if you had Becky and Charlotte trying to be CM Punk and Eddie Kingston. Okay?
Yeah,
they're both
good.
They're great professional wrestlers in their own way. They ain't King and Punk. It's different, very different vibe.
Who cares? That's still what I want. It's going to be, it might be a fine match. I don't know, but at least make it something different. And in WWE, nobody's actually seen that CM Punk Eddie Kingston match, right? It's not like it was done by a major company. O'Neill just watched it a couple days ago.
Okay, now look, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Will they do one of those spots that famously Shawn and Mankind did, where you put in something where it looks like someone's pissed off, the other one messed up? Remember the famous spot where Shawn like pretends he's angry at Mick for messing up, even though that was planned all along? To kind of tease that they're not getting on, they're not cooperating. Do you do something like that? Do you fake dissension within the work? Or do you just have a match and lock up and work some holds?
If they... You know, I already hate when people like lock up in these blood feuds. It's one of my biggest complaints. And that's why Punk and Kingston was so different, is that like they weren't trading any holds. They shouldn't do any holds. Just go out there and just fight. They should just do MMA spots, you know? Like take down into the guard, elbows from the guard and everything. Just work an MMA fight. That's what they should do.
I don't know, Jake. How good would that match actually be if they just went out there and brawled? Because... I don't, like, it doesn't feel like it suits their styles to me.
Yeah, if you told, like, as of right now, it, unless something takes me away, the only Survivor Series match I plan on turning the Peacock on for is Big E and Roman. You know, the match that should have been the WrestleMania main event in Dallas, but those people are morons. I plan on watching those two if I could. Yeah. If you told me, like, Becky and Charlotte were going to do that, like, if you were backstage and you called me and you said, hey, Jack, listen, just a heads up, they're going to go out there and do this, I'd watch. But
I'm intrigued. We know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. That's the thing. Is like, they've kind of sold me on, hey, anything can kind of happen. Do I think they'll just kind of do, like, a wrestling match? And like you said, Joseph, maybe they work in a spot where, hey, we're actually, like, really pissed at each other. I don't know if that'd be good though, because didn't Charlotte and Nia try that and it sucked? Becky's a lot better than Nia.
No, but... I think that actually happened.
No. But when they did the rematch, when they did the rematch, they definitely did the anything can happen, and then they did like the fake kind of punch.
Okay, this actually, if we're gonna do the conversation, let's have the conversation. Okay, you are the agent for this match, Jeremy Lambert. Now, this is not. I want to be clear here. Okay, and Jack is the third man. He can confirm what I'm about to say. This is not you putting a match together to pop yourself exclusively. You are given the job. You have to put together this match for the best of everyone involved. What would you come up with, Jeremy? You know, broad strokes.
I would have Becky kick her in the face and pin her in 3 seconds.
Yeah, see, I kind of felt you weren't going to have an answer there. Jack, what do you think? How would you set this thing up?
You know what I want to know? I want to know how many different variations of the Montreal Screwjob Bruce Pritchard is going to suggest. Oh,
dude, they're definitely going to do that, right?
Oh. How many different ways? Now, he's not going to say but he's going to say, how can we make it look like the Montreal Screwjob? And then there's going to be 10 people in the room going, oh, and then Vince is going to go, I like it, pal. Yeah, let's do it.
The finish is something I hadn't even thought about. Who are they?
Yeah, somebody's got to go over, technically.
They're probably going to do a DQ, right?
Maybe, but see, that's...
A serious question, because Jack, I know you haven't seen this. Someone asked this. Jeremy, this is a very quick thing. You know when Becky made a point of being like, Charlotte wasn't upset they were chanting my name during the Rhea match for Rhea. She was upset for herself.
Yeah, that popped me.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a shoot, but like...
That popped me so much. All right, yeah. Legitimate answer to how I would put this match together. To make everybody like kind of look good, I would have Charlotte like lay into her a good chunk. Like not take the full match, but I would have Charlotte like give her some shots on this thing. And then I'd have Becky fire. I'd have Becky go over because... Of course, I'd have Becky go over Charlotte. I'd have Becky fire back at her. It would not be like holds and stuff though. It would be more of a brawl. Like I wouldn't be trying to work an arm, work a leg type of thing for these submissions. It would be more of like a hard hitting type thing that you don't often.
You definitely need to there definitely needs to be a brawl at the bell, right? They need to meet in the middle and just do the Fry Takeyama spot that happens in every match now, including Punk Kingston. Everyone does it. You need to do that. where you go from there, like, I think you just trade the biggest moves they have and do like kind of a bomb fest and fucking whoever goes over go. I don't know. I don't credit to them because it's a match they've run 101 times and there is interest in it. So that's bravo, right? That's what it's all about. But
I'll give them that. I'll give them that credit. Like, at least they've created, which is another reason why I think that, like, I'm sure the two aren't best friends anymore. Like, it's not like it was in 2015 with those two. I'm sure that's not the case. But I do think they were nudged that any interviews you do, just kind of make it look like you two just absolutely hate each other. Because like you said, like, this is a match they've run. How many goddamn times have Charlotte and Becky
exactly each other?
Like, so this at least creates something a little different where you're like, okay, maybe I'm.
The one thing I'll say, and I'm not trying to promote this match for them, but I will say WWE is 100% a wrestling promotion that would be like, oh, no, don't get on. We're 100% running that match at Survivor Series. Like, they love that conflict. They love that competition among top stars. They always have. So there is a chance that there is, like, a lot of real bleeding over here into the fake TV show. The big question is, and I think it's the one that we all kind of agree, not much. It don't feel like much of that's going to bleed over into the match, right? Like, there's too much stuff like this loses its way when no one expects it. When everyone went into the match is talking about can they cooperate and shit, they should be able to cooperate. I'll be stunned if there's a real drama on Sunday.
Remember a few years ago, many years ago, when, like, people thought Charlotte and Sasha had, like, heat during their matches? Because Charlotte was, like, really physical in those matches. I distinctly remember a spot where it was, like, she had her up for a sidewalk slam on the middle rope and just, like, dropped her across the top rope or top turnbuckle. And that looked like it sucked so bad. Like, I don't know how much, if you can put, like, some dangerous elements into this match like that, but I would certainly try to work in some of that stuff.
Do you think, Jack Crosby, that there is a place for this level, this kind of, and again, before I go any further, I'm not saying this is doing it because I haven't seen enough to say so, but you know this kind of, someone mentioned Edge and Matt in the chat, this deal where you kind of take kayfabe, like, you go within the universe a little bit and you're like, there's some real shit going on here. The commentators basically say as much, right? And you work the match differently. Is there something to that, or is it kind of, is it a little bit outdated now? I don't know. I'm thinking about it myself. What do you think?
No, I think in the age of the internet, I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think it's necessary for, again, like, I do agree that, like, this scenario is perfect for these two women. Because, again, you've got to give us a reason to give a shit why they're wrestling each other for the 18,565th time. My only wish for this match that would make it even more interesting is if it was a title match, not on Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Like, if you had, okay, because then you get the people on the internet going, now, wait a minute. Okay, so let's say hypothetically Becky's the champion. Okay, say it's for the Raw Women's Championship. Becky, Charlotte, blah, blah, blah. They hate each other. They had the riff backstage, whatever. Because then you'd get people going, well, if they go there on Sunday and tell Charlotte she's not winning the title, is she going to go out there and pull a Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan in the middle of the ring and just act like an asshole before she lays down for Becky? If Becky gets told she has to drop the title to Charlotte, is Becky going to throw some kind of hissy fit? But like, with this, it's a champion versus champion, no titles at stake. Like, they're both going to be champion when they walk out of there regardless.
If we're going to know within a minute if Charlotte's winning, because Becky's selling like Shawn at SummerSlam if Charlotte's going over.
That's a good point. See, no matter what I think, there, I think we can agree on that. One of those two is going to pull a Shawn Michaels.
See, there is a line though, right? Like, you know, infamously in 2000, that Russo constructed the masterpiece where Goldberg refused to take the jackhammer. You know, and look, I'm not saying they're going to do something like that, but like, could you imagine if Becky put the disarmer on and Charlotte just walked out of the ring and was, I'm not taking it, I'm going home. Like, how do we react to that? Because to me, that is when wrestling just, the whole universe is shattered by that. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, maybe that's what this modern take on kayfabe is. It's such an interesting, and I'm not even doing a bit. A lot of times WWE stuff comes up and we like dunk on it. I am intrigued by the concept of this in 2021 because the thing that's really funny about it is the only people that actually know the story are those that are already well within the bubble anyway. So like, I watched the MMA Hour bit, and if you look at like the chat, like they think it's, they obviously just think it's all fake. So the only people that kind of think there's parts of it that are real are dipshits like me that know the story. So you have this weird, like, it's kind of a mess.
It's legitimately the most interesting thing they've done in, I don't know when. Like, this is the only match I care about at Survivor Series. No offense to Roman and Big E. I it'll be a good match. I like both of those guys. Like, it should be fine. But, like, this is a match they haven't built, but they've built just through the media and stuff. Joseph, yeah. You mentioned, like, you know, can you do this? Is this what you have to do in modern? Like, Roman and Big E are more or less complimentary towards each other in all these interviews. It's like, yeah, we're going to go out there. We're going to have a good match. Should we, you know, both are at the highest level and all this stuff. It's like, all right, cool. But, like, they on TV, because they haven't done anything to make me care about this match at all, I'm just like, eh, whatever. And I'm kind of over Roman's storyline at this point. Like, I'm excited for this match because there is that element. You can't do this every single time, and you can only do this with the right people. They've fell into this, and I think they've made the most of it.
Does all of that media work? Will that bring in new viewers? Or is it a case of it pops us that have read the story of what happened backstage?
See, when you say new viewers, Joseph,
yeah,
when you or anybody else uses that verbiage, you're talking about viewers who are going to tune into the product and stay. Will it bring in viewers to Survivor Series specifically? Maybe. Will it bring new WWE viewers? No.
Okay. Well, this you're right. Will it add people? Will people subscribe to Peacock that wasn't already going to watch Survivor Series? Will they now watch it because they saw what happened in the MMA Hour? Genuinely. Like, I mean, I'm not saying literally, because, like, obviously there will be a couple of people in the world that do
that. I'm really not trying to be an asshole, but. Yes, because doesn't Peacock still offer, like, just like any other streaming service, first month free, and then you can cancel it, so you can get it, watch it, and then cancel it.
I am a kind of, my take, and it isn't necessarily about this match, I kind of resent the notion, though, that, like, the way of bringing people into professional wrestling is this constant pursuit of convincing them that something real is going to happen, well, you know? And that makes me hypocritical in some ways, because big appeal of something like Punk and King is the fact that it had this sense of reality to it. I just think if the story isn't playing out on the television show itself, I think it kind of becomes like a weird overcomplication of the art form, if I'm being honest with you.
And this is where they screwed up, and where Becky has done a tremendous job doing her best to save it. Because I thought Becky's promo was great on Monday. But she can only do so much just standing in the ring by herself without Charlotte to play off of. Joseph, you watched that Charlotte thing on Friday. I don't know what she's going to do this Friday, but it was awful. And, like, if you just saw what they were doing on television, you would be – there's not that much intrigue with this. Like, right. I put the majority of this on Becky to take this and run with it and build it the best you can.
I just – go ahead, Jack. What are you going to say, sir?
Oh, I'm not going to say anything. I'm done with this.
Okay, cool. I just didn't look. I'm sorry. I thought you had a thought. I guess what I'm saying is, I think these women have done an admirable job, and the media stuff is, like, actually really well done. Especially, I haven't seen a lot of Charlotte stuff. The Becky stuff I thought was tremendous. Really was. I think it would be better for professional wrestling's growth and progression that the television shows are compelling. Yeah. Rather than constantly being obsessed with working the smart fan and convincing them that they're about to see something real. Now, that may be kind of outdated talk on my part. It probably is. I am a firm believer in what Punk says about the casual fan. I actually believe that. What I'm getting at is, I think we can make more wrestling fans by convincing them that professional wrestling is entertaining, not that every once in a while professional wrestling will get real. That's what I'm trying to get at. That isn't a criticism of Charlotte and Becky. That's a criticism of the rest of the card being so uninteresting. Does that make sense?
Well, this is where, Joseph, you yelled at O'Neill last night, but this is where I gave up on that a long time ago. So I'm fine with what they're doing here. It would be better if they could just make it entertaining on television, but they haven't done that for 20 years.
Absolutely.
So
if you're excited for this match, you're entitled to be, because I have intrigue in it too. I'm not criticizing them too. I'm just saying it shouldn't be the only time things feel alive is when something real happens. That's what I guess I was getting at. Yeah,
100%. But again, with WWE, this is why we don't talk about WWE on this show that often, because it's the same thing every single month. And it's like, well, there's not much to talk about. There's nothing worth talking about because they don't plan any of this stuff out. It'd be cool if they did. We talk about it all the time.
I will say, and we'll move on after this so Jack doesn't fall asleep, Becky Lynch especially is a great example of something I talk about a lot with Kingston, I talk about with Punk. She's a tremendous example of, if you just list her skill set, she seems impressive, but not like she doesn't stand out from the pack. She has a really great understanding of professional wrestling and connecting to people, and she always gets her shit over. No matter what she's doing, she gets it over. And when I saw her on the MMA, I thought she did a remarkable job of coming across natural, authentic. I think she's great. I don't, you know, what she's doing right now on TV, I can take it and leave it. But I think she has a real great understanding of what actually wrestling is about, which is getting people's heads, getting their hearts, making them care about stuff. She's very good at that.
She does. It's a shame they're going to waste it all.
Yeah, well, you said that, not me.
after Sunday... See, again, this way, I hate where this match is taking place, because after Sunday, then what? They go back to their shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go back to their respective shows, and it's... I bet you, it'll barely be talked about again.
Yeah, this stuff's not even, like... After this Saturday, this Sunday, it just moves on. They never have referenced Survivor Series artists. Now, I will say quickly, Big E and Roman, what do you do for that finish?
Holy shit.
You were so right earlier, man. This is such a weird time to book this match. Such a strange choice.
Big E was the only person on that roster, and I'm sorry if he was the only person on that roster to end this reign of terror from Roman Reigns. He was the only logical person to end this in front of 100,000 people at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I know I don't watch WWE anymore, but I still know who's there. And I still, from Twitter, kind of follow the storylines. I do not see anyone else on that roster that could do this. The only person I could see, and yes, I'm serious about this, and is Little Steiner.
I agree.
He's the only one that could put Roman Reigns out to pasture. Is if you bring that kid up, market him properly as a killer, and have him take out Roman. But other than that, before that, Big E was literally the only person that could have done that on a big stage and taken Roman out. And then you talk about reality. Do people forget that when those two were in NXT, Vince and Triple H got into an argument over who the next big star was? Triple H said Big E. Vince said Roman Reigns. When they were together in NXT, there was an argument over who the next top star is. And it was between those two.
Mm. Man, Triple H's opinion doesn't really matter.
Because of that, I don't think there's harm given the circumstances of letting Big E beat him clean.
I think Big E should win. I said this
yesterday. I don't think there's harm now.
It's a non-title match. They're not going to do it clean, but if you do something of Usos and New Day brawl on the outside,
right?
Yeah, you can do it and still, Roman's Roman. He's bulletproof. You got to do something with this Roman storyline. Go ahead, Jack.
Correct me if I'm wrong to this point. The Usos have pretty much been flawless in their
their
distractions.
Yeah.
They've been pretty good with that. Just have them screw up. Have the New Day come out and keep it even. Have Roman be distracted for a second. Big E, bam, big ending, 1, 2, 3. And then you tell Roman, listen, man, you're the heel, so you go on SmackDown and explain this loss away.
Yeah.
And Roman's good at it. Just say explain it away. But I would now, given the circumstance, I'd have Big E win.
I actually like that. Big E win. So who is eventually going to take the belt off Roman?
When Heyman turns. That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, you're pretty right. All right.
Another one that I kind of bought into, maybe Damian Priest. The only thing I don't like about the Priest... The scenario is that the dude is like 40.
The priest.
The dude is like 40, but if I'm looking at it from WWE's perspective, like in their mind, as far as a TV character, he's young and he's been booked pretty solidly. So you could put him against Roman. But I think it's going to it'll be Drew.
All right.
Drew's going to be the one to do it. Like Jeremy says Brock, I could see Brock.
It's going to be
my Brock. Money's on Drew. Drew will do it.
Let's move on to something we actually care about. First, let me read a couple of super chats. Ryan says, I know this is off topic, but can we discuss how Joe is trying to do a match of the year list, but is ignoring so many matches? Outrageous. Do you want
to I tried to do the Thunderdome thing, man. That shit was terrible. I don't know why we watched that stuff. I'm sorry.
What are some good matches from the Thunderdome?
Like, you know, some some of the like Roman matches, like Roman and Bryan was good.
Yeah, the Roman. What was it Becky, Sasha, Hell in a Cell? Or Bailey, Sasha, Hell in a Cell? That was really good.
That was last year now. Believe it or not, it was like 13 months ago.
That was really good.
Mm-hmm. There's some good stuff.
Jack just ignored the time. Like, that was last year. Jack's like, yeah, that was still really good, though. It doesn't qualify, Jack.
He's just refusing.
Wait, I thought you were talking about the
Thunderdome. Yeah, but it's match of the year. So
I'm doing match of the year. Don't worry, but he's had a tough time. Good for him.
Tired, man.
Kate is congratulating me on my max deal. Everyone send me money for my new
money. Congratulations, dude. I saw that before.
Thanks.
Why would they send you money? The whole point of the max deal is that you don't
Make money. I get money on top of the max deal.
Have they sent you that t-shirt yet?
A t-shirt.
Bob Fish.
Oh no, it's on the way.
Oh
yeah,
of course it is.
Four or five wits got it for me.
Oh. Fuck, man.
Yeah, I mean the kick shirt. You know it takes like 5 months for a pro wrestling tease shit to get here, so you ordered it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Love four or five wits. We do have some bobber chats as well. JJ says, hello to favorite big stars. Hope you're both doing well. Thank you for the distraction, especially this week. Been a tough one. Love you both. And then a bunch of hearts. JJ, hope you're doing well, buddy. Van Twin Blade said, Summer Chat brought to you by me shilling for Glory Pro Wrestling Apocalypse Now at High Spots. Now, yes, you, dear viewer, can get Tootie Lynn, get what's hers. There you go. That's fine. Go to High Spots. They have cool stuff there. Joseph is a subscriber, right?
I am, actually, yes. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that. Shut my brain count. Okay, carry on.
And Jay Shell says, hey guys, happy distraction day. Sending you this so you guys can rant about my future stars, Ricky Starks, Dante Martin, Daniel Garcia, and Lee Moriarty. I mean, we like all those people. I don't know what we're ranting about.
Rank those four.
Oh, rank. It says rank.
No, I want you to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did it already, didn't we? Yeah, Joe,
I think
did
so, it a few weeks ago.
We did it. Yeah, Jeremy, you do it.
Do it, you piece of shit.
This sucks. Ricky Garcia, Lee Dante.
Lee above Dante. That's where our arguments were. It was between Lee and Dante where we had arguments.
Lee's close. Yeah, I don't know. That's really, really hard.
It's not close. Really arguments. I should say disagree.
I'm very confident in Ricky number one. Very confident in that. And I'm fairly confident in Daniel Garcia number two. Lee and Dante easily could switch.
I don't know, man. That Dante Martin is he's something else.
It's absurd.
I think Lee has like really good crossover appeal, though.
Yeah. So do I. I actually have, personally, the more that I think about it, I would have Daniel Garcia last, which is hilarious.
Wow. I mean, that's fair. Like, I'm not even mad.
Just
at
in
that.
Terms of star potential. That's what I'm saying.
That's the thing about this list. I think we said this too a few weeks ago on The Grid, is that. No matter what order you put those four guys in, you really can't say anyone's wrong.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really...
Yeah, they're prodigies. They're incredible.
I see Garcia as like the next Bryan. And so because of that, like I'm going to have him high on my list. Like
there's a charisma to Lee Moriarty though that I do think.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's something there. And like I've seen it the first time. I've not seen it as much as a lot of folks in the chat probably, but like I remember talking to you about him before he was in AEW, and like there's a presence to him that's really striking. They're all great, though. They're awesome.
Yeah, you can't. I think the only way you're wrong is if you put Ricky last.
Yeah.
Well, see, actually, I should rephrase that because I think Ricky Starks is going to be AEW champion one day. Like, that's almost definitive in my mind. Ricky's going to be the world champion one day. So I think 2, 3, and 4. I think Ricky number is a solid number one on the list, but 2, 3, and 4, you can kind of swap out how you wish.
It does feel like, and the more we talk about this, Jack, I think you and I had we had someone else as the fourth man because it feels like Ricky's on a different list.
Yeah, we had Yuta as the fourth guy when we did it on the Grin,
who is very good, but would then be the fourth.
Yeah, he would definitely be the fourth there.
Yeah, in context of Ricky, I think is a solid, like he's going to be a world champion. So
yeah, it's interesting. They got a lot of talent there, a lot of talent.
Jack, you want to talk about Brian Danielson,
buddy? Guys, holy shit, man! I watched it. I think I've talked about it on this show, and I know I've talked about it on the Grin because I had to explain. I think it was on the Grin or maybe the Twitch. But one of the times we were together, I explained to Bob O'Neill who Ring of Honor Brian Danielson was. And everything I explained in detail was what we saw last night. And I can't tell you the last time I smiled that hard at a pro wrestling segment, but just a segment. Because when Brian turned into the Ring of Honor American Dragon, just like that, for this feud with Hangman. Look, and I saw people pointing out how great Brian is at transitioning from face to heel or vice versa, and he never misses a beat. And that also reminds you that he was heel in WWE, the tag team with Kane initially, the Team Hell No, and then the tree hugger, Brian Danielson, that had that, you know, dropped title to Kofi. And Brian did a great job with those. Neither of those WWE characters are on the level of the American Dragon heel. This guy, because it's very simple. He will go out there and smugly tell you the truth. I'm the best professional wrestler on this planet. I'm going to beat you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're helpless. And that's what he did during that Ring of Honor title run of his. He told everybody, I know I'm not the biggest. I know I'm not the best talker. I'm the best professional wrestler. I'm going to hurt you, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. And him saying last night, I'm going to go through every single member of the Dark Order, and they're all going to get hurt, and they're going to get hurt badly.
It's a very generous, polite way of saying that both him and CM Punk are pieces of shit. appreciate that. But no, yeah,
I
you're
will right. say, y'all, if you want me to make you sad, the one thing I thought last night, and I turned to my wife and I said the same thing, I said, CM Punk is getting back to himself. Brian Danielson looks so happy. He was so – did you see him last night? That was a man so happy to be in that ring doing that. Yes. I told her, I said, I know everybody, I wish Samoa Joe would have just came.
Yeah.
I wish Joe, I said, nobody else. I said, I wish Joe would have joined the OG crew here. If they're going to pull shit like this,
like,
I wish
you Joe made Joseph quit the show, Jack. What'd you do that to him for?
Can't do it anymore, man. Can't.
No, and Joseph, but I'm just being honest with you. It hit me last night after the Brian segment. I was like, man, Joe is just the missing. Like, we've already seen Homicide. Like, Homicide, is he at least.
Jack, I love it. You got to go. You can't do this to my co-host.
No,
you
bring him back.
You can't do this to my co-host.
I need to, you know, it's for me to get over. That's all.
Okay. I'm just telling the truth.
He is.
No,
he's not wrong.
No, this version of Brian, and then someone we just talked about. If Brian's going to stick to this version of himself, then after he's done with this world title program, which we talk about creating intrigue, what reason is there to believe that Brian Danielson isn't going to take that title from Hangman? As much as we don't want to see a short Hangman run, there's very good reason that Brian's going to go into that match, stretch the shit out of him, beat him, and take the title.
It would be interesting. I agree with you that it's not impossible, but I think it would be a mistake personally.
I don't think here's what AEW does, and Hangman addressed it last night because Hangman, they set it up really nicely in that Hangman said, I beat him. You couldn't beat Kenny in 30 minutes. So by logically, yes, Hangman has every right to say, I did what you couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. I still think Punk's the one that's going to beat Hangman. I'm pretty firm on this the whole time. Punk's going to feud with MJF and return to his role as a babyface, but the feud will go a long way to exposing the truth about who Punk is. Even though he's the better guy than MJF, there's a lot of similarities between those two that I think they're going to establish over the next couple months. And eventually, the true CM Punk will reveal himself against Hangman. I really believe that. I think that's the...
That'd be so cool, man.
Yeah. Because you know how good Punk would be with that story to tell, man. Good Lord.
That'd Joseph be so laid it
out
cool.
on Monday's show, right? We yes. did a lot of shows. Yeah, Monday's show, he laid out the whole world title program. And like you saw hints of that even last night. That wasn't a long segment. CM Punk didn't say a word, but him just refusing that handshake, like, said enough.
That was so good, man.
Yeah, of like who CM Punk is and everything. Like, yeah, they can do a lot of stuff with CM Punk, and he's going to continue to lean into it. Joseph alerted me to the Road 2 video that came out this week where CM Punk's like, I'm remembering who the fuck I am. And it's like, oh, yeah, he knows. Yeah. Jack, you said it. Like, he knows who he is. He knows he's a dick. And mm-hmm. It's going to continue to be exposed. His dick's going to continue to be exposed as we move forward. Yeah.
Like bringing in Punk, like there, I mean, we all know this, especially if you've watched him through like his entire career dating back to Ring of Honor in the Indies, that Punk is better as a heel. Always was.
Yeah.
Always was just some guy. It's not a nice, he's very good baby face too. Like he's not a ship. Like it's not one of like, he's very good baby face, but he's an excellent heel.
All timer. Yeah.
And all-timer. Then when you get a babyface champion again, like a Hangman Page, for CM Punk to finally pull that trigger on, that's going to get the people to go, you son of a bitch.
It's going to be so good because he's not just a heel. When Punk gets when he gets rolled in, he's a monster, man. That dude's he's just horrible, you know? And we talked about on the Ring of Honor show this week, there's no line he won't cross for heat. Like, he'll make people feel uncomfortable real quick. He's special.
Brian mentioned WrestleMania last night. On AEW TV, and like the way he was like, what one thing Punk or Brian can do, like when they win the AEW world title, if it's one or the other, they could say, look how easy this was. This place sucks. Like, look how easy we took this place over.
When both of them came in, that was kind of a suggestion I think we had is like, I just came in here and just won your world title like that. And then
there is something to be said. For when Punk and King did their famous head-to-head segment on Rampage, from what I remember, Eddie did not name Danielson. Punk did, though. And he talked about Danielson being one of the guys that judged Eddie. Them two is like, not a tag team, but as two dudes that, as Jack just said, kind of share that ideology.
And we know they want it. Like, yeah. They've both said, like, before they were both officially signed, they talked about, oh, who do you want to face? Who do you want to team with? Punk said in an interview, like, there were plans for him and Danielson to team in ROH before he went to WWE.
See, look, everything we're saying here is nowhere near as important as the man John Moxley's recovery. We love that. We love that guy. We wish him all the best. So what I say here is purely fantasy booking, and there's no rush because wrestling is nowhere near as important as real life. King and Mox versus Punk and Bryan, he's like – outrageous professional wrestling, you know? And we don't know what the timeline is on that. It doesn't matter, as I said, but just there's so much you can, that roster they've built is incredible, man. There's so many different stories you can weave, you know? Something special.
There's so much you could, like, just the way AEW's, the manner in which they're able to just turn these stories over and just roll over with different things is freaking amazing. It's incredible. They just keep doing it.
They're about to lose Omega. I mean, it said maybe until February. I feel like he's going to potentially
Which be I'm, out even longer I'm happy that. About because that son of a bitch needs a break.
Yeah.
He needs a break.
Yeah, you're right. Quick question, because I didn't know what we were going to talk about today, so I asked like the Twitterverse for some questions, and there's one that came up that is very fitting to this conversation. Pete asked, now that you've got the build of Brian working the Dark Order guys, what does Hangman do in the meantime? You know, so that he's not just kind of sitting there waiting as a babyface. What would you do there? Because I thought it was a really good question. What do you think?
I think he wrestles somebody. Like, he just has matches. And the reason for this is after Brian's promo last night, it was like, you're not out here working. Like, I'm here to wrestle. Yeah. I'm here to fight. Yeah. You're just out here in your cowboy boots and stuff. I think Hangman... And I took that personally, and he's going to come out and he's going to just have.
You could even do like, not for the belt.
No.
But you could even do like an open challenge deal just once where he's like, you know what? If he's not going to fight me, I'm going to fight someone. And then Bud Matt comes out and beats him in 4 minutes.
then we go, oh shit, what are we gonna do now?
You almost had me in the first half there,
Joseph. Bro, I'm so sorry, Pete. I read your question exclusively to do that bit. But it was a good question.
Jesus Christ.
It's no, it's seriously something like that where he just has a really cool match. That does the job fine, if you ask me. That works.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, he'll stay active because Brian called, like Jeremy said, Brian called him out last night for being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he's gonna wrestle. By the way, Brian, like, of course, Virginia would boo hard work.
Oh, so. God bless.
he was feeling it last night. Like, that was where they had the plan. They're like, all right, whomever pitched it, Brian or Tony, or maybe they talked about it and came to a mutual. All right, look, for this Hangman, because I didn't see that coming last night. I thought Brian Hangman was just going to be a respectful. Mm-hmm. When Brian came out last night and started firing off, I was like, "Oh, this is a better idea. This is a much better idea."
Yes,
I thought they were going to go that way once they announced the Danielson Evil Uno match, because then it was going to show that he was going to wrestle all these guys, and you can't just do a "Hey, I'm going to respectfully beat all your friends and kick the shit out."
What about when they took a close shot on Brian's head and he looked at the crowd and went, "He is going to get his fucking head kicked in."
Yeah.
He literally was like, this piece of shit.
And then favorite, he just stops in the head. Dude, that's the goat right there. That's the
My favorite goat. Thing about this Brian Dark Order thing that I thought about last night was, it's cool. Like, it's what we want. We all assumed he was going to go through the Dark Order. And he is, and the Cabana match last week is pretty cool. Like, that's pretty cool nostalgia. Brian is going to take it upon himself that when it comes to John Silver, Brian's going to take it upon himself to make that match extra special because he's a guy like everybody else can see what John can do when John's there in singles matches. I mean, the hot tags are great, but he's impressed everybody. So Brian, when he gets in the ring with Johnny, will say, "All right, let's get you to the next level out here tonight."
Yeah, like Duke's mentioned in the chat. Because he's going to be at that show. I'm pretty sure that's going to be the Long Island show, right? Because it looks like the hometowns hilariously actually match up for them to be able to do this, which is
he'll give Johnny some good near falls and shit like that.
Yeah. Now, do we think the Hangman match is going to happen on the Battle of the Belt special?
When is that?
January 7th, I think.
Yeah, 8th. Whatever that Saturday is.
So you get through the holidays.
I mean, they got enough people in Dark Orders where you can easily stretch that out.
Yeah, you could do this. Yeah, you could do it. That's when it'll be.
It's interesting. That week is going to be big time because that's their TBS move and a primetime special. So that'll be something to see.
That's only an hour special, too. Like,
which is going to be like, how would you format that?
Tony said, yeah.
I would just do a two-match card, wouldn't you? Like two big matches and just...
You could maybe
see, the thing is like, 15... they're calling it Battle of the Belts, and it seems like you got to have like more on there than just like a two match type of deal.
Yeah, right, you know, you can, because Rampage is what it is. I would try to make it feel, you just be like two blockbuster matches.
No, I'm with you, but when I hear Battle of the Belts, okay, I'm thinking, so like all titles are on the line or something.
Well, it's more just him, you know, pulling his dick out about Clash of Champions more than anything else. MJF versus CM Punk. Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson. There's a 1 hour block of television. I think that'd be okay, guys. I think we can take that.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be good.
You know, you could do a lot of stuff. You could also do the buy in on YouTube again.
I think that would be different stuff. I think that would be a good idea.
Now, that'd be interesting.
It does feel like if you two matches and you're not gonna put a women's match on there though.
That's a
it's just that's with the title tournament that's final is Wednesday.
Yeah. I feel like you got to put a women's title match. If it's Battle of the Belts, like, yeah, I feel like you got to put a women's title match on.
I mean, if for nothing else, you know you're going to take shit if you don't.
I don't know.
Tony's not stupid. He's like, if I don't put a women's match on this Battle for the Belts, I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah.
Fair. All right, look, I think you're getting a little bit stuck on the belts thing, to be honest.
Maybe.
Clash of Champions was, you know, belts, who needs them? It's just their name for it, pal. It's WCW. God bless.
It has belts in the title, Joseph. I need.
And also, you can't. I don't think they'll be able to do Rosa and Britt because I think Rosa would have literally just lost the final of that tournament. So.
Yeah, that would be tough to come back from.
You know, unless you do what Bill's Mafia said, and it is a literal battle of the belts where you have champ versus champ. Which, I mean, you could just do, AEW versus TNT, women's title versus TBS. You could just do that.
I was just going to say that, yeah. Like, you could do Sammy versus Hangman. And that's a good way for Tony to say it. It says Battle of the Belts in the name. Like,
that could literally be the whole format then. Like, it's just those two matches. I don't know how I'd feel about that, to be honest. But it would be interesting. It'd be exciting. Yeah, I don't know.
Because a thing we have to remember is they have a TV partner, so it's an easy way to satisfy something a TV partner wants. People have to remember there are similarities between AEW and WWE, and one of those similarities is satisfying the TV partners. Yeah, their contracts are different, but they still have to satisfy. So if Warner Media went to them and said, "Look, we want more shows," and they say, "All right, battle all the belts," like just throw it out there, like that's. You'd be like, all right, well, there we go. Champion versus champion, I'll show.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be really fascinating this next 2.5-3 months. The longest time of the year they have without pay-per-view is Full Gear to Revolution. They're moving network. They're getting these new specials. They're missing some of their top stars, frankly. They're also still trying to find the like full-time home of some of their new stars. There's a lot of moving pieces. It's really exciting as a fan, I have to say.
It might be a bad... maybe. Are they going to do another Winter is Coming?
What would be the match for that, though? Because if that was... Do you mean it's just like a Dynamite special before January?
It would have to be a Dynamite special.
Yeah, like some kind of Dynamite special. I mean, we had a title change last year.
When's the Long Island show? December what?
December 8th, that could be it, because last year it was like December 2nd.
Yeah, it was December. Yeah, it was the first week of December or the second week. I think it was the first, like December 4th or something.
Yeah, so you could do that. You could do like, I'm trying to think what the biggest match you could do is. I'm kind of at loss with that, to be honest with you. I'm trying to think what they set up they could do immediately.
Wardlow and MJF against Punk and Darby.
Yeah, the Wardlow MJF split. I thought about this last night. I don't know why. I thought that it's coming during the Punk feud.
Yeah, it's got to be honest, you, Jack. You're one of my best friends. I really worry about you when this thing actually happens and Wardlow just goes and teams with Lance Archer and they like just go 50-50 as a tag team. You know. Oh, no.
I was going to send you a message in the group chat that I'm not part of.
No, I'm just going to block Joe from Twitter. I'm deleting his phone number.
Please don't do that. It'll ruin all of our group chats. This is very, very long process.
I'm just deleting Joe from my life.
I'm just your friend. I'm just looking out for you, man. Sting, Darby, and Punk versus MJF, Wardlow, and Spears.
Oh, there you go. I was thinking of how to get Sting involved, and
Good Lord.
Completely kind of forgot about Spears. That's on me.
Wow. Billy Gunn, what a pop that was.
Yeah.
What? I didn't see that. I was laughing so hard.
I was sitting there watching the show with my brother. I'm like, so I'm guessing they're going to do King and Garcia on Rampage.
I'm sorry.
And I'm like, nope. Not getting it. Billy Gunn and Darby got Darby Allin. That's what we're getting.
Every time I see Billy Gunn, I audibly, out loud, go, he's so fucking big.
Dude, I'm legitimately excited for this match. Billy Gunn's going to just toss him around.
You guys know I love AEW, right?
Billy's fucking huge.
You know I love AEW. I do. Putting Billy Gunn in the ring with these wrestlers of today is a bad idea. It's always a bad idea because he makes them look so small.
It works for Darby, though, because Darby's going to just bump his ass off.
Was it the all-in casino battle royal or whatever? But he was in there for like 10, 15 minutes or whatever, and I just kept looking. I'm going, he's so big.
Our friend, the fame confirmed shoot, messaged me. Oh my God, all caps, Darby versus Bill Gunn, best promotion of all time. That was all he could muster when he saw what was happening in front of his eyes.
Bill is gonna win? I mean, they put Matt Hardy over Orange Cassidy.
Listen, I made a point of not having to talk about that on here. Okay. I like being positive about Matt Hardy.
And sorry. His kids seem like such little pricks. It's like it's the perfect dad. They both look like such little pricks.
He's still talking about Bill Gunn.
I know. I had to think about it. I was like, why is he talking shit about Matt Hardy's kids? What do you mean?
By the way, Ishii last night, man. Boy. That dude is he's so much fun to watch. I mean, it's only a little glimpse of him, but God, it was great.
It just got me excited for the, you know, the Forbidden Door shit. Like obviously.
How fired up were you when Butcher and Ishii just went face to face, Joseph?
Well, they had that great moment where he charged him down. You know, when Butcher was throwing forearms, and he just walked him down and got into the other corner. Sorry. I'll say this, Tony Khan, like, he deserves to lose his best promoter award for not doing Kingston and Ishii while he was here, though. That's some, can you imagine? King and Ishii on a random buy-in at fucking half an hour left of a random buy-in show, just kicking the shit out of each other. Cowards. Imagine that match, man. Come on.
I tweeted it last night. I'm saying it for years. I just wish Ishii and Brock Lesnar could beat the piss out of each other for like 10-15 minutes. That'd be Brock would be so happy
with Ishii.
He ain't Brock selling a thing.
No. Brock ain't doing nothing with Ishii.
No. See, I disagree. I think Brock would give to him like he gave to Samoa Joe, because Brock loves the guys who will lay it back to him, and Ishii would. Brock would be like, all right, you're good people.
The thing about Ishii is one of my favorite wrestlers, loved man, very, very small, very, very little man. And I feel like Brock respects little folks like that. I'm going to be honest. Yeah, he probably wouldn't like me either, you know. Samoa Joe is a lot taller than Ishii, a lot taller. I would suggest about 6-7 inches taller.
What? Speaking of which, I've been out most of the day. I don't know if you guys did anything on Fightful, but I tweeted it out this morning when I saw it. What's up with this New Japan NOAH press conference on Saturday?
They're having it. I don't know what it's going to entail. I just assume Kenta has bought the promotion and now Kenta runs.
Yeah, they announced press conferences at the same time. Although I love how NOAH advertised it as an emergency press conference.
I think to be honest, yeah. Well.
And New Japan was just like press conference Saturday 2:00.
We can't lose Ring of Honor and NOAH in like the same month. I'm sorry. I can't.
They're definitely together. This wasn't a coincidence. Something's going on with the two of them. Fair. We're gonna get a little Mara Fuji action on AEW Dynamite pretty soon.
God, that would be fun. That'd be very fun.
Namichi Mara Fuji is gonna be showing up saying, "All right, I'm out the business."
Kicking Eddie Kingston.
Mara Fuji did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He has that. The thing about him is like he's. From what I can gather, he's somewhat polarizing online. But I will always remember first watching that deep wrestle and him doing the hook kick and just losing my mind. Like he obliterates guys with that. It's incredible. I did want to quickly – some of these questions, guys, I'm going to try and get to on the post show. I wanted to see if there was any others here we need to tell. Jeremy, any other topics from you before I hijack the program?
Let me do a couple super chats. Antoine says, tuning in and out because I'm at work. But I love the distraction, boys. All the hard work y'all do. Thanks for keeping me entertained while working. Goats. Hey, hope works going well for you, Antoine. You should just like quit work and just watch us all day. It won't pay as well, but. Ribbon Blade says, Ishii came out to the Pixies. What the hell is this world?
That was awesome. Yeah. That was incredible. Quickly here, I need to tell Jack about your blunder last night, your error, Jeremy.
Oh, why you gotta do this?
Because someone asked.
No one asked where.
In my tweet about what they want us to talk about. Last night on the Dynamite pre-show, Jeremy Lambert suggested, he actually claimed confidently, that Alexa Bliss will be more remembered for playing Bray Wyatt's like second than being 18-time women's champion. And Bob and I literally punched our webcams at the same time. And the chat, like apparently there was riots outside of his window last night. So can you just bury him for that, please, Jack?
All right. And here's how I'm going to handle this.
Good.
Right now, Jeremy, you're wrong.
Oh, no.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Factual, yes.
But when Alexa comes back, if she just sticks with this and it goes for God knows how long, maybe. Like, it could work both ways. Yeah. Like, right now, I disagree with Jeremy. Like, right
he's crazy right time, now.
Present yeah. time. Yeah, present time, Jeremy's off his shit.
Yeah, agreed.
But if she comes, like, if she keeps doing this, which there's reason to believe she will, because apparently that stupid merchandise sells pretty well. I mean, when Bob showed us that goddamn $40 Jack in the Box, I said, well, people are buying that. So 40 times whatever the number is, that's a lot of money.
It is fascinating, man. Like, did you guys see the number that Tribute to the Troops did on TV?
Yeah, 2 mil.
Brother,
wait, there was a Tribute to the Troops?
Did you? Yeah. I didn't see one tweet on my time. You got 2 million views.
Yeah.
Really? I'm telling you, man, their audience isn't... Like, the Lily thing's a great example, because that thing, like, it's over somewhere. Not on our timelines, but it's really over.
Look, that's why I tell people all the time, WWE's not for me, I don't watch it anymore. But I understand that there's people who do, which, whatever. Like, for whatever reason, whether it's for, you know, if they work at a wrestling website to make their money, then fine. Or if there's people who just... I know this sounds crazy. There are people who don't go on Twitter every five goddamn minutes. There are people who don't give a shit what's happening backstage. Yeah. They tune into WWE, watch it, and guess what? They go on with the rest of their lives. They don't finish watching Raw going, oh, I wonder who booked that match. Who was the producer for this match?
Those people are weird.
Not everybody does that.
This is the actual truth is that we are just existing like deep within the bubble of this form of entertainment. So therefore, we actually have no read whatsoever on what normal people like about professional wrestling. Because we are great big fucking dorks. Anyway, thanks for joining us on this. History title. Bang! There you go.
Hey, O'Neill is here.
What's up, guys? Hi, Jack.
What did Jack just say?
See, it's a love-hate thing. See, I talk to Bob like every day, and I'm always really nice. But then in public, I have to be cool like everybody else in fashion. It's just one of those. But other than that, Bob and I talk really best friends.
Yeah, no, we're good pals.
Bob O'Neill, do you have any idea what you're doing today?
No, not really. Jack, you want to talk about baseball?
No. Not again.
Bob, the report yesterday saying the Yankees don't want to spend money on a shortstop. I almost drank a whole bottle.
Hang on. Said Cheese Nader brings this up. I can dunk on this quickly. Cheese Nader, keep it. Cheese Nader coming up, please.
Yes.
Can we talk about the fact that Tribute to the Troops, which wasn't on my timeline once, had 2 million viewers, and NXT 2.0 is sitting there with like 400K?
Is that median age for NXT? Is that correct?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So these idiots rebranded that thing to a rainbow show and are like talking about Mandy Rose's ass and they're drawing 62-year-olds? You see, this is what happens when you don't put the title on Ricky Steiner Jr.
It's true. I don't think that's what's happening here, but okay. All right. I'm going to leave that there.
Bro, they are just so out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious.
Because here's the thing. They really thought this was going to work. They thought they were going to rip Triple H's thing away from them, completely overhaul it, and be like, yeah, we're going to get the children back.
Bob thought it was going to work. Bob's exact quote to me was, there is a very good chance this revolutionizes professional wrestling.
True. And I was wrong.
Factual.
O'Neill, are you ready?
Yeah, I don't have anything. You shot down my one plan. You talked about Survivor Series already.
I'm going to bully you. You're going to have to preview Survivor Series on the post show. We're going to go match by match, and you're going to preview all the matches. That's fine.
There's like five matches. I'm not going to talk about NBA teams that may or may not have blown a 20-point lead to Portland last night.
No,
not going to get into that. So
Robert Covington hit a big shot. I didn't think he was in the league until yesterday.
That was such bullshit, man. Look, that dude's a really good player, and you guys like Bob even tweeted it, and I was going to reply, and I was like, you know what, fuck Bob.
No, I don't really have anything though.
Well, here's O'Neill's corner three. He's going to do something for 3 minutes, everybody. History final. Bang!
So, Jack, how are you going to not sign Carlos Correa or Corey Seager?
If you got we're not doing this baseball stuff. No.
Okay, listen, I have no problem with him doing what he wants to do with this 3 minutes, but that's the one thing we can't allow anymore. It killed our viewership before.
The season's over, guys. It's over.
Factual. I don't even know if that's true, but yeah.
It is.
They just left. Are they not coming back?
I kicked them off, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I kicked them off. They don't have access to get back in here.
My
Figure
God.
Something out. No baseball talk. Figure it out, O'Neal.
My God. The aggression.
You know what the funniest part about the baseball talk is, though? No, in all seriousness. Is that in a month, there's going to be a work stoppage. There is no baseball, technically.
Okay, here's why, actually. Bob, can you do some analysis of the latest television ratings in World Wrestling, please? Because I'm really intrigued on your take on that.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about the Tribute to the Troops one specifically? Because a lot of that, or at least some of it, is NFL carryover. Because they put it right after
Wait, did I just get fucking owned on the Distraction Podcast?
I know.
He whooped your
Dude, he kicked the shit out of you last night, too.
No,
I just... Go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify that, because, you know, they did the Christmas show last year and got, like, 4 million, and that was just people, you know, watching TV after Saints-Vikings. So I think, you know, putting it right after the NFL stuff, there was some carryover there.
It appears that you have just come on this show and taken the one piece of positivity I could offer to the World Wrestling Federation and just fucking eviscerate me for it.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe people tuned in.
You're the expert. You're right. I'm just saying, like, you just shot down my WWF praise. That seems bad.
I recorded it because I wanted to watch Roman and Shinsuke, and I haven't watched it yet, and I probably won't just because it's been, like, 5 days now.
Yo,
O'Neal, can you say Fed Dead?
No, I can't do that yet. You know,
was that a match on the Tribute to the Troops, Roman and Shinsuke?
Yeah.
Hey, can I find that on the internet?
I don't know for sure. Like, because I talked to someone else.
He'll send it to you.
Yeah, I DVR'd it. You want me to like record my laptop screen and on my cell phone?
Type trading Bob would be tremendous.
Yeah, no, but that's just what I think. Like, I think some of it could have been carryover because I don't think it was on at like a standardized time either. Because some markets had two NFL games. And some only
Your
one.
Thoughts on NXT's 2.0's colossal commercial failure?
It's not ideal. You know, again, that's why you probably should have put the title on Bron Breakker. It's a direct path to that and the failures that they've been experiencing now.
Yeah. And then they have that like what do they see that the Usos' little brother is like a Samoa Joe replacement?
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but I personally just think the Wednesday Night War should end so that both programs can grow. You know, because the toxicity of being on Wednesday is bringing both shows down, in my opinion.
I agree,
right, Bob. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I should have talked about the video game. The trailer actually looks decent, and hopefully, it's playable.
Playable. A video game on release?
That's really what I'm looking for. But I'm a little concerned the GM mode looks like you only have three matches, which seems bad. But let it play out, see what happens. Visually, it looks good. I mean, I would hope, you know, the pictures look good. Next generation systems. But yeah, I'm excited for it. Should be good stuff, hopefully. And we'll see what happens there. And yeah.
History title!
In order to fill the time, Bob began to say something and disagree with himself. Like he'd be like, "It looks good, but then it should do, right?"
He went full Meltzer on your ass, man. You were like, "Good ratings. Look at these ratings," and he was like, "Well, actually,
yeah." Well, it's been look. I think it's been pretty clear for a while now that Bob's actually smarter than I am. I'm just louder, which is, you know, story of my career. Yeah, he's studied the game for years, right? He's Meltzer's right hand man. Bob O'Neal knows what he's talking about. All right, anything else? Should I got more questions?
I meant to ask you guys. Jeremy might say, "Yeah, did you listen to any of that stupid ass Ric Flair podcast? Like for work?"
I listened to the whole thing.
How bad is it? How bad is it?
It's not good at all. It's not good at all. Rick's all over the place. He's just. I mean, Mark Madden is Mark Madden.
See, Rick, I don't like Rick's debts. Like, I would just go to the grave with them. I wouldn't try to make money to pay them at this point. I'd be like, yeah, I ain't paying that. No, not paying it. Just
the views of Jack Crosby do not reflect the reviews of the Distraction and Fightful.com.
Did you really just take him to the grave?
The debts, yeah. Look, I'm not saying Rick should kill himself or like maybe 15, 20 years from now.
Jack, stop talking.
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay.
I'm not paying those.
Yeah, I just the way you said it. I'm sorry. All right. Anyway, moving on to our questions. Let me have a look here for a good one. Who's the bigger asshole, CM Punk or Bryan Danielson? Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. CM Punk is an understated asshole right now.
Who do you personally feel is fleet bound after final battle? Jack, what do you think? Any Ring of Honor names? Come on.
Gresham.
No, I don't think so.
Really? Oh, Jeremy was confident about that.
That's what I went, because I saw another ad for it. Can one of you two explain to me what this thing is he's doing?
It's just a one-off show from what we've...
Yeah.
It's a one-off... I thought it might have been a one-off show, but is it like a blood sport type show, but for grappling?
I think so. Yeah, and I think if it hits, they'll just do more of them. But like, it wouldn't be, what I'm trying to say is it wouldn't be saying that would stop him from signing for promotion. You know?
Gotcha. But
now, Jeremy, why are you so confident he will not be joining Fleet?
I just think he's going to do his own thing for a while. Like, will he eventually end up there? Possibly. Do I think he's going to be there immediately? No.
Well, here, what's Jordan's contract like with?
He just re-signed.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't fault the guy at all. Like, if he wants to go work with his wife in Impact.
I would fault him for that particular choice, but yeah.
Now, Bandido is an interesting one to
me. Dude, imagine Gresh walking around doing, like, little cutesy backstage vignettes with, you know, John Swinger and
I definitely think Brody King is coming in because, I mean, God, CM Punk publicly caped for the guy. So Brody, you're definitely going to see Brody.
I think Brody King is definitely coming in.
He's definitely in there. Now Bandido, like, how hot is the stove for this guy? Where he, you know, that bullshit he pulled with Travis Banks.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. Like, if we're being honest, with
I know, but I mean, I'm not bringing this up, not trying, but like, you know, they just brought it. They brought in
Jay Lethal. No, you're right.
Like, how do you look at Bandido? So he booked Travis Banks and said, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Yeah, it was a bad idea. But then he put him on another show under a mask.
That was rough. Yeah, I wouldn't have recommended against that.
And it's like, dude, what are you doing?
Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm about to say something that's pretty shocking news. This is websites are going to run with this as an aggregated story. I want Jonathan Gresham in AEW more than I want the famed Australian Dynamo, Buddy Matthews.
Wow.
That's how much I want him in AEW.
Wow.
I think people just do not grasp how special Jonathan Gresham is.
They don't.
And if you pair him with that level of talent, oh my God, man. I think he can do. Because to me, he's just different to everyone else. You know, with his frame, with his build, with the way he works, he's spectacular.
He's special. Jonathan Gresham is a special talent. And that's why I wanted, like I said, if he wants to go work with his wife, that's great. Like, that's not going to fault the guy for that. But I want to see him in AEW because he needs the biggest stage possible.
Yes, exactly.
He's proved himself already. Now get on the big stage. And I mean, it goes without saying. I know it's stating the obvious, but Bryan Danielson works there now. You're going to give us all what we want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of matches for him. And he's so versatile too. There's some people that think he's just like a mat wrestling. And it's like, look at the range of guys he can have great matches with, man. He's spectacular. He's the one I'm desperate. I will say, I think Shane Taylor Promotions are a really nice act.
Yeah.
I think
you've been adamant that Moses and Khan are going WWE.
I just
think
they
fit best in WWE.
Yeah, but that was before, you know, stuff's happened and it's but definitely I think they'd fit great. It's not an insult, you know, they'd make a lot of money there. I was really intrigued by Phoenix saying, you know, like the best four-man team in the universe. I was like, that was a really weird line that you would throw in there. Like, you'd only throw that in there if Tony Khan said, please say this because we're going to do something next week.
And then, of course, the elephant in the room happened last night, the Briscoes.
Yeah, which we talked about a little bit, and it's just...
Yeah, and...
It's tough. I don't know.
It's tough. And look, I saw him tweet it last night, and I think he's just the greatest human being. I think, Ian
should be signed.
Ian should have a job with AEW. Hire him and figure out something to do. But like Ian said, look, Yeah, Jay made some mistakes, especially Jay made some mistakes. Both of them did. But they have shown that people can change. You know, it doesn't excuse what you did in the past, but people can change.
I wish, you know, they were more kind of publicly getting that message out.
I agree. Instead of having people stick up out for them on their behalf.
Right, exactly.
I agree with that. Because, I mean, and you hate it for them too if they did change, because like they're an all-time tag team. And I know that people like WWE fans will look and say, well, no, they don't matter because they never worked. It's like, no, that's not how this works. They're an all-time great tag team, the Briscoes. I don't know. But again, like the Jay Lethal signing really kind of opened my eyes to what Tony Khan will take a chance on.
In a negative sense, yes.
If you would have told if you would have told me 2 months ago, you know, Tony Khan's going to sign Jay Lethal, I'd say, no, he's not.
Me too.
He's not going to do that. And then when he walked out there for...
said that on shows, man. I was like, there's no way.
I mean, my range of emotions at full gear when Tony Schiavone was like, multi-time world champion around the world. I'm like, oh, who's this? And when he said Jay Lethal, I went, excuse me?
It was weird. And yeah, I don't know.
And then the fans going nuts for him. Which,
well, yeah, because, you know, there's a... That stuff just isn't...
You're going to get the pop live arena.
Yeah.
Isn't that well known either. A lot of that stuff. Like, look, here's the thing with that, and I know you don't know this, Jack, because you have, you know, things to do in real life, but we talked about this in pretty good length. We haven't talked about it tonight, and I'm a little bit kind of lost as to how we cover some of this stuff, to be totally honest with you. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with how immediately normalized he felt in AEW last night.
Yeah.
Because I think that gives them a whole lot of reason to continue to make hires like that. I don't know. I didn't make the hire. I don't know the story. I can only tell you guys what, you know, what is out there and for you guys to consume. I really was kind of... I don't want us to kind of just review him immediately as like part of the program. Because as Jack just mentioned, there are other names out there that I don't particularly want on that show. And it's like, I don't know.
Look, this isn't just pro wrestling, buddy.
Right, yes.
The NFL is littered with scumbags. I say it every single week. One of the most, I know you don't watch the NFL, but let me put it to you this way. One of the most talented, explosive players in the NFL is a guy by the name of Tyreek Hill. Plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. Won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, went to the Super Bowl last year. Maybe the fastest player in NFL history. Just phenomenal talent, okay? A couple years ago, on draft night, there was leaked audio. He's telling his wife, I'll beat the shit out of you again. I'll beat the shit out of the kid. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? It was him. Every single Sunday, whether it's on the Red Zone channel or one of their games, I watch Kansas City Chiefs. It's never once is it brought up. The announcers will always talk about, oh, what a generational talent he is. And what is it? This is, it's not just pro wrestling that has this problem.
Right.
It's all forms of entertainment. Look at the scumbags in Hollywood that keep getting outed like it's every goddamn year. It's all sports. It's a problem across the board. I mean, people think it's just centralized in pro wrestling. It's not great in pro wrestling. It's not, but it's not centralized to pro
wrestling. Would you agree though that wrestling's weird kind of existence between both entertainment and actual sports makes it a really strange one in the sense that, and listen, what I'm about to say is really dumb, because this is not as nearly as important as the stuff that happened in real life. But I'm going to say it because it's the truth. Part of my reaction to Jay signing was, like really? Like, that's the guy you're going to take the risk on for all this? Does that make sense? Like, because wrestling is insanely subjective. And who you may see a world champion in, I may see not at all. So then when you add that element, it's like sports are kind of, if a guy's greater, he's great in his position. Wrestling, there's a lot of guys I could suggest to you that could do what Jay Lethal was probably going to do for AEW.
And
that makes it kind of more, tough. I don't know.
And then from Tony Khan's perspective, not saying he looked at it like this, but any kind of business owner, team owner, pro wrestling promotion owner, they're going to look at Jay and go, did you get arrested? Jay's going to go, no. Did you get charged with anything? No. And they're going to go, well, I don't see a problem here. So it's just someone alleging you did something. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. And whereas they should go, you know what, though? Maybe it's best we just That's usually the questions they ask. It's going to go, you weren't arrested, you weren't charged, you didn't spend any time in jail. This wasn't really a, you've been keeping employment, which he did with Ring of Honor. You've been keeping employment, so I'll employ you here.
Right. And that's the thing, that too, is that those of us in the media, myself included, did a poor job of kind of shining light on this subject while he was in Ring of Honor. So what's the problem with him going there? You know, it's difficult.
And then you created another problem with yourself. You guys at Fightful do a great job with them. You really do. Like, I don't want this to go. I don't agree with those media scrums in pro wrestling. I didn't agree with Triple H's stupid media calls in NXT. I don't agree with Tony Khan gathering everyone together after these pay-per-views. It's pro wrestling. Calm yourself down. Do your show and get out of there. I just don't. I never did. Again, this is going back to Triple H's media calls. They're stupid. Just enjoy the entertainment show.
I don't agree with them because they keep me up until 5 o'clock in the morning.
I do. I feel bad because they bring you guys content and they keep, but I was always against them. I don't like them.
I agree. Wait, I understand Joseph's point because we kind of mentioned the same thing on the post show. And you know, Jack, you talk about Tyreek Hill. A lot of guys, and it's not right, but a lot of guys in sports will get those second chances because it's like, well, they're great at what they do, and we can't find anybody who is on that level, so we'll just forgive and forget. Like wrestling, Jay Lethal, you could just slot Buddy Murphy into that spot.
I mean, there's no end of like a plethora of names I could come up with, but.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys Jay Leaf was a bad wrestler because he isn't. He's actually a very good professional wrestler. He had a very good match last night. I'm not here to try and do something where I oversell that he's bad because no, that's not what I'm doing. I am saying that wrestling is sport in how kind of much it was built on, you know, athleticism, and these guys are athletes and their bodies, the way, you know, it's all very similar. There's an overlay there, but there is a big element to me of it being an art form. And I can only speak for myself because I'm not good at doing the separate the art from the artist shit. I'm not. I never have been. I don't listen to those albums. I don't watch, you know, that's me. But it depends who you are, who you're talking to. It's just, it's difficult.
I thought Jack was going to say something.
No, I just happened to peek over. I happened to peek over the chat and there's a lot of people like with the scrums and stuff like. It's like post Super Bowl interviews. It's like a post Canelo. Listen to me. Like I understand that. And please don't take this the wrong way. Those are real sports. Pro wrestling are scripted television shows. Like, I don't want to watch Succession on HBO every Sunday and go, okay, bring out Kieran Culkin.
Well, they do that with Talking Dead, right? Walking Dead, they do that whole thing. People like that shit, Jack.
But those aren't like, how do I put this?
You're wrong. JJ says
no one's gonna do the best without offending people.
Here's the thing is that if you did a presser for a television show, no one would ask the actors like for their character's mindset, which 100% happens at professional wrestling because it's this weird middle ground, right?
It's just weird.
So it's hard.
Pro wrestling sits like almost in a category by itself.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's I don't know. It's a weird in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody says couldn't get invested in the Lethal match. Just kept thinking about the elephant in the room. Providing good match shouldn't overshadow the issues. I'll admit it. I didn't really pay attention to the match.
Yeah, because that's again. This is what I'm saying. Is if you're a sports fan and your team has a piece of shit on it and you win. You are 100% still going to feel the thrill of winning that game. That's not why people necessarily watch professional wrestling. People watch for a range of reasons, you know? And if you watch it like you want to analyze and enjoy the art form, it will 100% affect your enjoyment, I think, to some degree. It doesn't have to. And I'm not even saying Jay necessarily. Like, there's obviously a range of good and bad in professional wrestling. I am talking for myself, will say that. I'm probably like it limits my enjoyment immensely, I would say, when there's that kind of thing looming over everything. I have to be honest.
Jack, any closing thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I think we covered everything.
Okay. And guys, just, you know, for any new viewers, I know this is our kind of main show and everything. Joseph and I did a lot on this topic. Monday, we did a lot on the Lethal topic. And yesterday, we did a lot on the Briscoes topic. I never want anybody to think that we are like avoiding subjects or anything like that, or I'm trying to just wrap things up to get out of here. We will, and you know what? We have a post show in 7 minutes. And if you guys want us to keep talking about this stuff, we will continue to keep talking about this stuff. But we, I think, what are we saying on Monday, Joseph? Like, we're not here to avoid topics or anything like that. If you guys want us to talk about stuff, we certainly will.
I don't know the best way to talk about it. I personally, and I'm kind of lucky because I'm not in a position where I have to cover everything, but I personally am not going to, and this goes for other guys that I've done it with previously, I'm going to try my best not to normalize their presence by just treating it like it's this weird asterisk, which I think there's some stuff I can treat like an asterisk, like some wrestlers' dumb beliefs, you know? And when I say beliefs, I mean stuff that's not like what we're talking about the Briscoes. I mean like, you know, like to tweet that the earth's flat. Like I might sometimes in passing go, other than his beliefs, and we can all laugh. I'm not going to do that for shit like this. It's actually a lot more serious. So if I've done it before, I apologize. I probably am not going to talk about these wrestlers, which isn't great in its own way because, like, not talking about it doesn't really help either. Okay. I just don't want to be the guy that, like, expects the audience to forget. If you want to hear people talk about those wrestlers, there's so many other podcasts out there. It's just, I don't really want to do it anymore, to be honest with you.
There you go. Jack, would you like to plug anything?
I got nothing to plug. I don't do anything.
I feel like you do some stuff, Jack.
Yeah. No, just follow me on Twitter at JCrosbyCBS. Maybe I'll tweet about AEW. Mostly Wardlow.
Mid-card Wardlow.
Wait, did I tell you guys Bob offered to buy me the action figure?
Why'd you take it? Did you take the offer?
No, I'm not like we cut a deal. We cut a meet in the middle deal.
Oh no.
Because I said, buddy, you're not ordering. No, you're not doing that for me. I said, appreciate it, you're not doing that. He goes, all right, how about this? If I see one out in the wild, I'll buy it and send it to you. Like if Bob happens to be roaming around the store and he's like, oh, there's a Wardlow figure. He's gonna
Bob can't walk, so like him roaming around the store is gonna be an issue.
This show has had so many just no need, man. Blow the bell.
Joseph, anything?
Yes, a lot, actually. You can join us on the post show that's going to be starting very shortly here on our own channel. Then I'll be hopping over to Patreon, latenightgrin.com, where the guys are going to be booking Texas Wrestling Federation. I'll be sitting on that and just talking with the chat and all that stuff.
Yes. I'll be sending in again until I feel
I'm actually going to announce it now too, Jeremy. Seems bad. Next week's episode of The Distraction is on Thanksgiving, which is apparently a thing that you buffoons over there celebrate and get happy about. So, my God. So I went with buffoons there. Huh? That was interesting. So we're going to be taping a show, and it's going to be a historic show. And when Jack hears this, he's going to pop for this lineup. Because the late night grin is going to be invading the distraction. As we tape a program that will be myself, Jeremy Lambert, the great Robert O'Neill, and of course, the famed, infamous confirmed shoot. As we tell you all for around 90 minutes what we're thankful for in professional wrestling. What could possibly go wrong, huh? There you go, folks. That'll be next week's show.
It's going to be something. Yes, we will not be live next week. It is Thanksgiving. I do celebrate with my family. I'm technically on vacation from November 23rd to November 30th. Imagine that, me taking a vacation.
Oh, man.
But I'll still be doing shows and whatnot. So we are taping next week. Not a live show. There will be a show. We'll still have content on the Distraction channel all next week. So don't worry about that. You still get plenty of content. Guys, head over to the post show, youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. We'll catch y'all over there and talk to y'all in like 5 minutes.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.